Čaute, vítajte pri ďalšej epizóde pohodového podcastu No Huddle o americkom futbale s Jakubom a Samom. Dneska sa vám tu hlásime opäť s ďalším rozhovorom, tentokrát od nášho trénera z Trnavy. Vítame tu s nami človeka, ktorý má viacej futbalových skúseností ako my so Samom životných skúseností. Naozaj nespočetne veľa rokov, či už hrania, alebo trénovania, alebo futbalového recruitmentu. Vítame Jamesa Sadna. Welcome, Jimmy.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi to everyone, to every listener of our chill podcast, No Huddle. Coach, it's incredible honor to have you here. Such an amazing player with amazing stats and history like you have. And we are just looking forward to this podcast, and we just want to have fun. So let's start it.
Yeah, so as we all know, the NFL draft is coming, and you have the experience of being in college and maybe preparing for the draft or seeing your teammates get drafted, or your thoughts of being drafted. Like, how was it in college? How was it at college? Like, what was the thought process about the draft, about the NFL, and how was it in general in college? How was it to play?
Well, first things first, I want to say thank you to both of you guys. I think it's incredible what you guys are doing. Next is, it's completely a privilege to be here with you guys and seeing what you guys are doing. So I want to give credit to you guys first. But the overall process is, you know, as an American kid growing up, we all dreamt of playing NFL football, being a professional, finally getting paid for what we love doing. You know, you do it for, you know, Pop Warner or rec league football from the age of as early as maybe 6 or 7 until you're maybe about in your early 20s. And then the big money comes in. But overall, I think it's a great process. It's a great, you know, tool to use to get athletes to be academically inclined or to have them involved in their academics. But overall, you know, the draft process, we mentioned earlier off air, but it's pressure. It's pressure. I personally had the opportunity to play college football, as you all mentioned, and to be able to go through the draft process and see guys get drafted. I actually played with 2 first round draft picks, Mario Williams and Phillip Rivers. So it's a complete honor to even be considered a guy to be drafted or to, you know, be a part of a drafting class to even think of playing in the NFL. But it's a tad bit of pressure, but I think the preparation that goes into it, it's a different mentality. You know, this is that decision that you don't get to necessarily choose, but it's a complete honor no matter where you go amongst the NFL team. So I would say that it's half and half when you say, you know, pressure, but you're so proud and you're so prepared for it. So I think that the guys who are about to, and the guys in the future and the guys in the past who have went through the NFL drafting process, I think they're taking a full stride, and I think that they enjoy that process. You know, it's competition through the roof, because out of all the college teams and out of all the picks, you know, only a selected few actually make it to the NFL. So you're talking about, in my class, you know, I came out as a defensive back. You know, there's in the draft, don't quote me on it, I'm not sure how many DBs get drafted, but there's a specific set of numbers that'll be drafted in each position. Some years NFL teams need more of one position than the other. And then, you know, you wiggle your way in from that process. And from there, I think that we have to consider stats. We have to consider the measurables, height, weight, 40 time. All those things play a huge part. But I think the one thing that people are talking about within the last 5-6 years, maybe even before that, is character. The NFL definitely takes into consideration character. And just one of my mental notes that I want to add is that maybe from a European standpoint, you may not know it, but they go pretty far back into your, you know, background to figure out who they're going to draft. Because think about it, they're investing hundreds of thousands to millions into a player. So they're going to go back and check. And I was told, your third grade teacher, what type of student was he? Was he disruptive? Was he an active listener, learner? You know, they go as far back to maybe even going to your doctors. You know, they have that type of clout or that type of, you know, ability to go and check resources that you may not think they'll go check, but of course they do, because they're investing so much time, energy, and money into you that they do all of their due diligence and research to make sure that they're picking that right guy, you know? So it's a huge process. And I think that the guys who are going through that, they're taking full stride. And again, you know, you just got to keep your nose clean, so to speak. Like, you can't be doing bad and then eventually think that the NFL will take you. However, there have been situations with guys with
bad background. AB, right?
You know, so, but his talent overrides his, you know, his talent overrides all that nonsense that he may have carried out. But that's the part where I don't say politics. I just say people pick and choose what they want. You know, I don't want to ramp on, but even for myself, I wasn't a bad pick. I wasn't a bad choice, but due through some people speaking about me in a negative way, and they had some power or they had some position that actually made a comment to an NFL team or two. And I wasn't drafted, which is no skin off my back. Honestly, as a kid, I never dreamed to play in the NFL. I just always wanted to be successful. And I honestly can say I never played football for money or for, like, to make it to the NFL. It was always something fun that I did. I love playing the sport. So to think that, and truly speaking, if we go back to high school, I didn't know that I could go to college for playing football. I was never raised that way. My dad didn't play professional sports or things like that. So I didn't get that teaching that I will pass on to my son. You know, I'll teach him that with this ability, you can get these things. So, you know, having an education about some of the things. And also, there's decisions that you do have to make. I had already been in position to redshirt, so I was eventually going to get my college degree, which was very important. And when you look back at it, so many athletes leave for the money and don't get the most important paper, which is an education or, you know, diploma or degree. So when you look at it, hindsight, yes, the money's there, but you have to go back a few years later and get that education. So you do, you know, show that you have the education for later, because football doesn't last forever. We say not for long for NFL, but again, you know, it's decisions that need to be made. You don't get to make that decision. You just have to really bust your tail and work really hard. And on your draft day, not even your draft day, but on your pro day, you got to come with it. You got to bring it, you know, to stand out. So scouts see you.
So is pro day that important? Because a lot of people say, like, okay, it's something, but you showed your skills and your play, your game in games. So is it that important for scouts and recruitment, or is it just like, okay, everybody does that, so I'll do it?
Well, I'll show my age. I graduated college in 2007. So with that being said, it's 2021. So the rules in the game has changed a lot, and I'm not old. I'm just saying that, not that it was harder for people in my time or before, but you could not sit out a bowl game just because you're going to the NFL. You were hungry. You wanted to play the game, you know, whereas now guys can sit out an entire year and still get drafted pretty high because risk of injury and liability and miss bowl games because I'm going to the NFL. And, you know, that shows a little something about their character, or if we look at it, their wisdom. You know, they don't want to risk something to lose something. But at the end of the day, once you put on those pads and you say, or your parents sign you up, you're already risking something. And it's not a huge risk in the sense that, like, oh, I'm going to get hurt the moment I play football. I hate when kids or parents say that. You know, you can get hurt playing baseball. You can get hurt walking down the street. You can get hurt MMA, whatever the case may be. There's a risk that you always take in every sport, you know. So with that, when guys can just sit out a full year because they raised enough clout or people think highly of them that much, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. So if they've already told you you're going to be here, then you can kind of sit on that and like rest on that. But during my time, no one would sit out a bowl game. No one would sit out a season. You wouldn't dare because the competition was that good. You know, you couldn't afford to do that.
Yeah. So speaking about draft, you were college recruiting assistant. So how important is, because we are living in era of social media. So how important is, or what athletes shouldn't post on their social media, or what can harm them most on lower their draft grade?
Yeah, because we talked about this with David in the previous interview, and we had coaches talk about this at the Europe's Elite Camp. Like, beware what you post on social media because you don't know who's looking. And as you said, like, when people are, it's a business and it's an investment for for the team, for the organization. So they need to do their homework. And yeah, I was surprised, like, the details they go into, like, really the background, like, really the background, like, how is the kid in the third grade? Like, it's wow.
Yeah. You have to, because, and I'm definitely going to tackle your question, Simo. You have to. If I'm going to buy this Lamborghini, Ferrari, because that's how much players are costing, if not more, I'm going to make sure it does or it has the ability to do what I want it to do. Because think about it, they're buying you. So with that being said, they have to do their homework. They have to check you out. They have to know that, hey, he did this. I wonder if he can do that again. Oh, he was young, but is that still a part of him? And in my process, they ask questions just to see if it's if there's a mental condition, if there's a financial problem that you are doing this just for the money, you're going to play one season, get a couple million and bounce, you know? Are you in a financial position that you don't need the money and you are just that good and like, hey, we can cut him the check. He's worth it. And to get to Simo's point, Simo, as a recruiting assistant, 2 years NC State, shout out to the Wolfpack. It was a privilege. Listen, it was like turning back time because now I got to see how and what went into recruiting me as an athlete, and to also see, you know, how the game changed. Like, I wasn't into, for lack of better words, I wasn't up to kissing kids, but you're still a kid. You have to get into college. But yeah, we definitely want you. So I took the being real approach. You know, I have my degree in sports management and tourism. So I definitely showed them a great time. I was, you know, kind with the parents, and winning the parents over was my number one goal. The athlete will listen to their parent, but when a kid comes home and their parents are saying like, hey, that was a really nice school. You know, they show hospitality. They show that they care. Your education was important and they always have a place for you. That kid is always going to think about that. Never mind the flashy Nike gloves and the swoosh and whatever the brand may be. But from a recruiting standpoint, you cannot play for the building. You cannot play for the logo or the brand. And truthfully, you can't play for the coach. A coach can leave next season and recruit you this season. Hint, hint, happened to me, but you know, it's all an experience. And like I said, Simon, from that standpoint, it was a complete honor, man. Like, you got to take kids out, show them the best of the best, make them feel the best that they could. But I was never into lying to them and saying, you know, you're the only guy we're recruiting right now in this position. You're the best we've ever seen. No, that's not the case, because on every website they show who schools are interested in and things like that. But there's a lot of homework that goes into it also. We have to get to know the parents, where this kid played Pop Warner football. You know, I was creating highlight tapes. I take his game tape and cut it up into like 6 to 8 plays that were his best plays. And that was his highlight tape for one game. But pros and cons, we definitely had to see his negatives. You know, we had to see what he did not do well. So from a recruiting standpoint, it's amazing, man. It's really amazing. It's really, again, like, how can I say? The kid has his top five options, and you have to be the prettiest one. you know, you got to be that girl that stands out, that university that stands out, that he will remember. And on that day, you know, some kids already have their mind made up, but can you change it? Can you convince them to look other ways? So when you get them on campus, I think that's when you really have to do your work. Phone conversations, tweets, messages, they're good. And a kid can definitely use that to his advantage. Hey, I'm being recruited by this school, that school. But in the long run, it's when they get on campus is when you really have to be able to grab, not literally grab them, but you have to pull them into you and show them why, you know, your university or college is the best for them.
Yeah. Well,
and yeah, it's like in the NFL, like the recruiting process, right? Is it similar?
It's similar, but they got more money to spend, less guys to actually be recruiting. And it just crossed my mind, Simo, they should not. And I think you guys noticed from camp, they should not be posting things that's inappropriate, whether it be, I mean, some coaches don't mind the vulgar language. They think that that makes the rebel of a kid, but some universities, Vanderbilt, I know NC State, for that turns coaches off. We're not looking to teach a boy how not to be bad. We're trying to teach young men to be men. So, you know, you got naked pictures, profanity, marijuana, anything worse than marijuana. You know, if you showing that you're smoking, you're drinking, you're partying, you know, that's a huge turnoff. You know, like, you can see who a person is through their social media, not per se exactly who they are, but hey, social media will tell you a lot about them.
Yeah,
pretty good picture of them. So I would definitely say anything vulgar, violent, unnecessary, don't post it. You know, don't post it.
Yeah. In your huge, huge resume, you told us that you are also a strength and conditional coach. But also, speaking about you, you played against the best athletes in the whole country. So how much important it's to take care of your body, to recover? Or how did you recover?
Well, I'm blessed genetically. I'll say that. I give much respect to my genetic DNA and my family members. But I was a hard worker. You know, I went into college pretty fast guy, pretty fit guy, not the heaviest or biggest guy. But I think once I got into a real weight room program, each year I put on 5 pounds. That's what, 2 point something kilograms. But it's not a lot, but it was enough because it went into the right places. It made me more fit. It gave me the power and strength that I needed. So with that being said, it's, I think the best, not the best, but the most important coaches on any staff is going to be your strength and conditioning coaches, because you're going to spend more time with them than your actual position coach, than your head coach. They take care of you. They are the ones that are with you from morning workouts to the practice session, conditioning session, and then the next morning, practice session, conditioning session. So I would say sports conditioning, strength training, it's the foundation. You know, you're not going to bring in a kid that's huge and has no strength. You have to teach them everything, but through that you do learn, you know, how to actually use your body. You see the guys that after 1 or 2 years in college, they come back to their high school looking like, whoa, are they get, you know, they ask the question like, are you on steroids? Do they give you steroids? And it's not steroids. It's 3 meals a day, weight room once or twice a day, some conditioning outside, and practice. And when you're doing that 12 months, you're doing that 10 months out of a year, you're going to see some result, especially if you're actually contributing and you're doing it the right way. So it's very important.
Yeah, yeah, I think we all saw the picture of Derrick Henry standing next to Mark Ingram. And
oh, like, my goodness.
The same position, but a whole different, like, body types. And I remember also, like, you remember the AJ Brown and DK Metcalf picture, like, shirtless?
Come on, man.
Wow. It was like...
It's definitely partly genetic, okay, but they've been in the weight room. They've been in the weight room, definitely. It's very important. Totally important.
Okay, I think that we can move on to mid warning that I'm going to ask you some questions and you just have to choose that one that is more sympathetic to you or whatever. So okay. I'm turning the clock and we can go. So first question, LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
LeBron James.
Okay. Pick six on or fumble recovery to the end zone?
Pick six.
Yeah.
Pick six.
Michigan or Ohio State?
Ooh, you're going deep in this, man. Uh-huh. I will say my high school colors are Michigan. We had the helmets and everything. But I'm going to ride with the Buckeyes.
Okay.
Ohio State.
Speaking about the weight rooms, you prefer bench press or squats?
Well, I love bench press. Nothing that people don't like to see than a big chest, big arms, but the squats are the foundation. Squats are foundation.
Yeah. Okay. Then zone coverage or man coverage?
I played man-to-man 5 years, man-to-man.
I knew it.
Man.
Okay, so the next question is your favorite interpret or song before the game or during the game day?
It's changed a lot because, you know, you think about high school. I didn't listen to music before Pop Warner. High school, I didn't either. We just had one guy who just always blasted, you know, some hip-hop music. So
before yeah, that's classic. Games, like, that's in all locker rooms. I mean, there's always the one guy.
Yeah,
there's
always one guy. DJ.
So I would say, I don't know. I can't say I have a favorite because I don't. But it's going to be something upbeat. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something upbeat. Big tempo. I don't know. Okay. Good question.
Yeah, that's too many words.
Good question.
Yeah. So you were talking about the Michigan and Ohio State. Why would you choose Ohio State? And or what are your other teams teams to watch, let's say? What teams do you like to watch?
Well, I mean, Ohio State has it. I am because I don't watch as much football as I used to when I was in the U.S., I'm more so like, who can I learn something from? So, obviously, we see Ohio State play in a pretty big game this year. But I chose Ohio State because one of my favorite colors, red. I went to their camp as a sophomore in high school. And I think that would have been another one of my choices had I not committed to Texas. But, of course, you know, Michigan – that was my high school colors, my high school, like, whole, we looked exactly like Michigan. But I think that I would have had a pretty good career at Ohio State. But why I choose certain schools, I think because I look at their offensive coordinator and their playing style, what conference they play in. I mean, the SEC, I'm definitely going to pick something up, but LSU is my dream job. I wish Nicola goes to LSU, but, you know, we'll see. But why I choose it is because I think that I can learn from the style of play, what type of athletes I will get if I ever had these type of athletes, what type of ball I can play with. So, and then it comes down to, of course, if I know some coach that is there or maybe a player there. So relationships. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you pick LeBron James over Michael Jordan. Is it because of the North Carolina rivalry or why?
I mean, we can say that, but I didn't learn Jordan went to Chapel Hill until like I really got to North Carolina. I wasn't never a Jordan fan. I've never been a Kobe fan, rest in peace. But that's no knock to those guys. This is just me as a kid. My goal was Deion Sanders, Dallas Cowboys. How can I play like this guy? So I didn't have much interest in NBA, but I did watch New York Knicks when they had Latrell Sprewell and got Marcus Kimby. So I'm not even sure what year that is or if you guys know who they are. But I was never really, you know, I was never really into Jordan. I only had one pair of Jordans when it comes down to it. Like, I was never that guy like most other kids were. Michael Jordan is the greatest. Why I chose LeBron James, pound for pound. I mean, I watched Floyd Mayweather today. He is the best boxer. But pound for pound, if I could ask anyone to be on my basketball, football, baseball team, it's going to be LeBron James. I think he's hand down, you know, the athlete that was created for sports. Any sport that you, I think you can put him in, I think he'd have a huge impact.
I heard that talking about LeBron James playing in the NFL, and someone said that LeBron would be a great tight end. And Steve Harvey, I heard that, yeah, he could be the great tight end, but until he caught the ball, because, you know, yeah. My over there.
Yeah, listen, that's, I mean, it's a different game. You are going to get hit in football. But did you guys know LeBron James, if you want to check it out, LeBron James as a wide receiver, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Go check him out. At high school, yeah. LeBron James was the best wide receiver in Ohio his senior year. Like, there's no, I wouldn't even need my office. He wouldn't even go to tight end. Oh no. He'd be like my Calvin Johnson, Megatron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the importance of strength and conditioning training, as you yes, mentioned earlier, because like basketball and football is obviously two different sports, but the process behind it, like training, mm-hmm. eating, and really taking care of your body, it's a bit different, yes, right? Yeah.
It is. And I had a chance as a strength coach to train the basketball players just for like a few weeks just to cross over and train. And they don't push squats as much as football players do because there's nothing to really push. However, their upper body strength and their core has to be really solid, but you can't push it so much because they have to shoot. Mm-hmm. So you can't have huge shoulders and huge biceps shooting the basketball. You can't afford to. So the training method has to be a little bit different because the body type you're training. You can't train a track and field athlete the same way that you would train a wrestler. You can't do that because they have to use different parts of the body differently. So O-lineman is not going to run gashes with the skill. No. No, no, no.
Yeah, so because I watched the Last Dance documentary, and it was like the part when Jordan decided to retire from basketball and go play baseball, and they were talking mm-hmm. about the differences between trainings for basketball players and for baseball players. Like, his personal coach said, like, it's complete different workout, like the routine is different,
yeah,
the parts yeah. you actually train are different, and
yes it's, I mean, there is differences, but the core is the core. You must keep solid upper body, you yeah. must be able to lift with your legs. You got to have a solid, you know, ab area, quads, hamstrings, all those things have to be treated the same way. You may not put as much workload on each, but there's going to be some type of work. I mean, come on, who's going to bench more? What's my guy? Because if you look at it, LeBron James might be the size of maybe a DN. He may be size mm-hmm. of a DN.
Long hands, yeah.
Those DNs going to outbench him, you know, all day. But LeBron James still, I mean, genetically is huge. He's a big person. But, again, you can't train those bodies, those different athletes in those different sports the same way.
Yeah, and also we with someone, we know how is it to play two different sports like soccer and football. It's completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah,
like
you both.
In
yes.
soccer, we were focusing on the conditioning, like the mm-hmm. running, longer trainings and
distances.
Distances. Mm-hmm. And then football, it was more about the weight and the muscles, and you needed to be strong more than like, okay, the durability or the endurance is mm-hmm. Important, but the strength and really the durability to like hits and tackles, it's something different. You just didn't practice
Absolutely.
It or you didn't train it in soccer, and it was a big difference. But
yeah
we got the best of both.
You did, and you know what's, it's not crazy because I don't say crazy because it's life. And you know, obviously, podcast, everyone knows I'm American. I was born in America, so of course, American football. But I've been here in Europe, Slovakia, now 3 years. I was in Serbia for 1 year. My wife, shout out Serbia. With that being said, I would love for Nikola, if not American football, LSU, I would love Nikola to spend time with you two. And I mean that, Simo and Jakub. Why? Because you both have the football knowledge in football knowledge, soccer. But I would love for Nikola, honestly, and this is what I focused on for 2 days before you guys even said something to me, but I knew you guys had no huddle. Simo, you're a goalie. Nikola, why can't Nikola be a goalie? Like, Jakub, you played in the center of soccer. If he can't be a goalie, why can't he get in the center of a soccer field? And if he has some of my – wow, he just ran on the couch. Like, you don't do that. Like, jeez. But I would love for him to be a soccer player because, I mean, we're here in Europe. I don't see us going to America anytime soon or whatever happens. But I love him to learn from you guys. You're older, you know. He can learn from both you guys and maybe be able to contribute into soccer. And I'm not going to make football his first sport. If he wants to do it, God bless him. Hey, daddy will always support you. But I think with soccer, I see that as an international sport. And if you ask me, soccer is the best sport. It's international. American football is what we call it. American football is bigger in America. Soccer is big everywhere. You can go play soccer. They got the World Cup. There's only the Super Bowl for American football. So when I think of his future and what is the big scale, he can be the goalie for whoever's club, Juventus, Madrid. It doesn't matter. But to hopefully see his body grow up to be, I believe he's going to be taller than me. He looks like he'll be a little thicker than me also. But to be able to have that quick twitch and not be afraid to attack the ball. And I know we're talking about soccer on the football podcast, but I wanted to just let you two know that I've already thought about
it. It's all connected. It's all connected.
Listen, yeah.
I know who I want him to spend time with.
Yes. Yeah, we would love to do that. Her. I mean,
yeah.
Yes.
It would be an honor and pleasure for us because
that would
soccer,
be cool.
How we mentioned, it's sport that teaches us a discipline. What I have learned during my soccer years, I would never change that because how Jakub said, it is sport and it's something amazing. Memories that we had in Pieszczany, that's something incredible.
Yeah, we were just talking about it the other day. Yeah, exactly. The team, the team spirit.
Wow. Yeah.
And, I mean, any team sport is just, it's something different. Like the memories you have, the experience, the brotherhood, it's a whole nother level. Like you can experience it anywhere else.
No. Well, you know, someone said to me, how do players know to throw alley-oops, you know, throw the ball to the next guy so he dunks it? And you two know in soccer, I don't have to say, hey, I'm kicking you the ball. Or, you know, as a quarterback, receiver, DB,
exactly.
Hey, I'm throwing you the nine route. There's that, like nonverbal communication feeling that you just have. And in team sports, it teaches you that connection and that bond with each other. Like, we're on point. We know that this is about to work and I'm going to connect with you like no one else knows it. But, you know, when you pass that soccer ball, like just the beauty of me being an overall sports guy and wanting to learn, I love to see that. How did you know he was going to pass that to you? What made you, you know, hit the ball at the right time? So that for me, I would love for him to learn the foot dexterity, learning how to actually move the ball around without looking down. All those things I didn't have. So if he can have that and he sticks with it, amazing. If he uses that like Odell Beckham did and take it on the football field, whoa, that's
and
like
also
a
footwork, whammy. The footwork for soccer, like it's the fundamental for other sports, like because you need it everywhere.
Yes.
Football, basketball,
yes.
You need like always just footwork. As you said, the squats.
That coordination.
Squats, mm-hmm. Like the foundation of muscles, footwork, like you have to have it.
You got to have it. Gotta have it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, hopefully the situation will get better and we can start with some events also for us or for the fans of the podcast. We definitely have some plans we would like to include you in, like some trainings or practices, like one-on-ones and just chilling outside, playing sports, and
yeah,
developing the community.
Get back to the normal, normal times.
Yeah.
The
normal times.
Yes.
Coach, thank you very much for your time. I hope
absolutely
this is not the last time we speak here, because as we can hear, we can see, we have everything to talk about. Like, we have a lot of things to talk about. I hope we can get back to some other things in other podcasts. We still have to, we can talk about how to get to college, or how is it with former teammates, the brotherhood, how is it after college or something like that. And whatever the fans would like to hear from you, maybe some questions after. So thank you again very much. It was a pleasure and it was an honor to have you here. It's an honor to call you coach, friend, and I think a part of a family, because you're just a great guy and I'm so happy to know you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, coach. Thank you.
Likewise. Simon, good to see you again, man. And Jakob, you already know it's love and it's family already. So I just hope that we can get back together, you know, once everything, and we can all spend some time together. Simon, I want to tell you, if I had to pick a player that was like newcomer of the year, you would have been that guy. And I kid you not, like, you I didn't even ask for you to start at corner, but the coaches already knew that you should start. And I mean, you may have led the secondary in picks. And I'm just thinking like, wait, this is a goalie from soccer who has been here a few weeks and he's over here. Like, he was attacking the ball as a DB. And that's something, Simon, I want to say, we don't naturally know how to do that as DBs because we're always backpedaling. But for you to use your ability as a goalie to attack the ball. And I look at that now is when the ball is coming to you as a goalie, you go to it. You don't sit back and like, oh, I'm going to bat it down. So to see that, man, I just want to give you your credit now, because you definitely came in and you made a huge impact on that season. If no one told you, I definitely want to let you know how you got there. I'm thankful for it. And again, Jakob, you already know, I couldn't be the coach that I was without having you, you know, signal calling. So it's definitely an honor to be here with you guys as well. And I appreciate that you guys did come to me. And, you know, I look forward to a future podcast with you guys.
Yeah, coach. Now I'm just speechless. I don't know what to say. If I don't want, I will not accomplish anything in my life. I just put this in my resume that coach James Sutton, who picked Meg Ryan in college, just said this about me. And
hey. I mean, hey, but it's true.
I'm speechless.
It's true.
But how just like Jakob said, it was incredible, and it was honor for us have to not only a player and coach like you, but the person like you are, and we just appreciate it so much. And like Jakob said, we are looking forward to see you again, because it was incredible.
Well, I appreciate it, and love to both of you guys, man. I hope you guys just have so much success with doing this, because it's very smart, it's very genuine, and I love it. Keep it up, all right?
Yeah, thank you very much. Say hello to Nicolina and Nicola. We wish you the best, and we hope to see you soon.
All righty. Thank you guys again. I'll see you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, coach.
See you.
See you.
All righty.
Tak toto bol naozaj úžasný človek. Coach Jimmy. Samo sa to červená, je to tieto vidieť na kamere. Ale naozaj musím to uznať, lebo bolo to vidno aj na Summer Cupe. Samo tam mal tuším 9 pikov a naozaj už od začiatku aj v juniorskej sezóne bolo to vidno. Samo má tie skúsenosti, keď je brankár, vie, ako ísť po tej lopte, ako to aj povedal Jimmy. A je to všetko pravda, Samo. Ako, viem, si skromný, ale je to naozaj pravda. Akože ten impact tam bol určite. A
neviem, čo dodať. Tie
skúsenosti, proste keď to pozerávaš stále, vieš, čo robiť, aj keď si to netrenoval, ale máš to napozerané a vieš, čo robiť. Tak skúsa ešte k tomuto ty vyjadriť, teraz to presunieme na taký menší rozhovor aj s tebou. Takže ako to bolo pre teba?
Pre mňa akože toto počuť od takého úžasného človeka, kouča, hráča, akým je Jimmy, tak to je niečo, čo si budem pamätať do konca života. A ako sme spomínali, sú to dva odlišné športy, ale je to šport, tá connection tam jednoducho je, či chcete alebo nie, sú to tímové športy a ako síce kvôli spomenul, že som mal tie picks a mal tie skills, tak je to tímový šport. Nebol by som schopný to spraviť bez tlaku na D-line, nebol by som to schopný spraviť bez toho, keby ostatné DBčka mali perfektnú coverage, takže neskutočne si vážim tieto slova, ale je to tímová hra. Tam, keď vám chýba jeden kúsok, nemôže vynikať ten druhý. A naozaj, neviem, čo k tomu dodať, pretože asi len to, že som veľmi vďačný aj tebe, že si ma, lebo ty si ma priviedol k tomu, vďaka tebe som išiel do Trnavy vyskúšať tento úžasný šport a ako je futbal, náš slovenský soccer, tak aj tento mi dal strašne veľa vecí a ani neviem, čo dodať, myslím si, že neviem, ak som povedal, I'm speechless, to sa proste nedá. Po takýchto slovách niečo hovoriť, to proste nejde.
Hej, a je to dobre počuť naozaj, že nevždy to človek počuje, aj keď si to ľudia častokrát aj myslia, ale nevždy to povedia. A pritom pár slov a dokáže to zmeniť človeku náladu, oveľa ju zlepšiť, alebo proste vyčeretnú svoju na tvári.
Aj život, to akože.
Aj, presne. A hlavne aj teraz, že treba sa podporovať navzájom a či už takto kamaráti, alebo už aj rodina takto, ale ako aj my túto podporovať sa komunita amerického futbalu a športu celkovo, podporovať sa navzájom a nejako to tu viacej rozbehnúť.
Viete, že to je ten správny šport, keď po takejto rečiach sa vám, alebo po takýchto vetách sa vám naozaj nahrnú slzy do očí a ostanete jednoducho bez slov, ktorý som nevedel, čo mám hovoriť, takže to len dokazuje, že je to naozaj ten šport, pre ktorý žijeme a ktorý tak moc milujeme, takže môžeš spraviť outro, pretože
takže samo na akú college by si teraz išiel? Bol by to NC State?
Jednoznačne. Jednoznačne to akože bez debaty. Takže myslím si, že sme posunuli nielen level nášho podcastu, ale aj level všetkých podcastov na Slovensku niekde úplne inám, pretože nebojím sa to povedať, pretože po takomto hostovi, akým bol Jimmy, sa to vlastne ani inak nedá nazvať. Alebo nič iné na to nedokážem povedať ako toto. Vážime si vašu podporu, robíme to preto nás, lebo nás to baví a tešíme sa na vás pri ďalších dieloch našeho podcastu. A minule sme povedali, že s Dávidom, že ťažko to bude prekonať, ale myslím si, že po tomto dieli by sme to možno mali zabaliť, lebo neviem ako ďalej už.
Určite máme ešte nejaké plány, aj či už s podcastom, alebo s nejakými ďalšími eventami. A s týmito rozhovormi určite chceme pokračovať. Máme už trošku naplánované aj možno ďalších ľudí, ešte ich musíme osloviť v najbližšej budúcnosti. A blíži sa draft, to sme už spomenuli. Môžete očakávať nejaký náš podcast o drafte, čo si myslím o tých hráčoch, ktorí môžu ísť a ako vysoko môžu ísť. Také, aby sme získali taký ten základný prehľad o drafte. A ak sa vám toto video páčilo, tento podcast, určite dajte like, odber, followujte nás na Instagrame. Ak máte nejaké ďalšie otázky na kouča, prípadne aj pre ďalšie epizódy podcastu, napíšte to kľudne do komentára. Ak chcete aj vy pochváliť sa ma za jeho výkony, tak napíšte to prosím do komentára tiež, ja tam určite hneď pôjdem napísať povredený, lebo rado vidím takéhoto šťastného, takže mu budem zlepšovať týmto náladu často. A bavte sa futbalom, ako vždy sa mu hovorí. Je to úžasný šport, plný úžasných ľudí. Vidíte to na Davidovi v minulej epizóde, alebo na kočuje v tejto epizóde. Vy sami ste úžasní ľudia určite, pretože počúvate podcast No Huddle, zapájate sa. Takže týmto sa vám ja chcem poďakovať a do počutia z No Huddle.
Do počutia z No Huddle aj odo mňa. Majte sa pekne.